My name is Elise Mertens and this is Dropshot.
Sunday, the 23rd of June. After a 200-mile drive and a lot of traffic, I'm finally in Eastbourne for the Nature Valley International, which is a combined men and women's event. It's a WTA Premier Tournament and an ATP 250, and is based at the beautiful Devonshire Park site, which somehow nestles unobtrusively slap bang in the middle of town. Eastbourne gets a poor rep as being an old person's town, but has changed dramatically over the last few years, probably as more and more people find living in London too expensive. The air is good, the sea is beautiful, and if you want a bag of fish and chips or a decent meal, most cuisines are covered. The only drawback are the trains, which run sporadically, if at all. Other than that, this is a perfect place to spend the coming week. The tennis is high quality, the facilities are stunning, and this is a perfect opportunity for players to get a last-minute tune-up on grass, as these courts are the most comparable to those found at Wimbledon. Plus, you get to see some of the best players in the world at close quarters, especially from the women's game. I'm also expecting Gary to turn up at some point this morning, but his timing is not as good as a tennis player's, so we will see what time he gets here. We've got here early afternoon and have missed the first few matches. This is annoying as Paul Jubb was one of the first on court and he beat Andrei Rublev in the qualifiers. This is an incredible result. I'd like to have spoken to Jubby, but c'est la vie. I quickly go through the remaining games and put in my requests. The first presser up on the notice board for me to go to is that of Joe Konta, who has beaten Diana Yastremska. Let's get in there and see what she has to say.
I knew playing against Diana that she comes out swinging and she plays big, and sometimes there's very little rhythm to the match for because of the way she plays. So I knew that I just had to really take care of the things that I look to take care of and just try to, enjoy the challenges that she brought. And yeah, overall, I'm just really pleased that I was able to just keep competing throughout the whole match.
Konta moves on to discuss what Eastbourne means as a home tournament for her.
We're quite spoilt as Brits because we get a home crowd for quite a few weeks in a row, but obviously this is a home for me. So yeah, no, I know the crowd gets really behind me, and I definitely feel that when I'm out on court. I think for sure when a player feels comfortable in the area and the surroundings, that gives them every opportunity to then play at a good level. And it's never guaranteed, but I definitely feel like I have the opportunity to play well here. And so far, I've been playing well over the years here. I've had some great matches, so I'm just really happy that I got through my first one and get to have another one. I'd like to get six, obviously, but I'm really pleased to have played a good match today and got to have another match on the grass, and to be able to get the win means I get to have one more for sure, and we'll keep working on getting one more after that and so on.
She describes the transition from clay to grass that the players have to make.
There's a big difference between the surfaces and the way they play. However, everyone's in the same boat and having to transition quite quickly. And for me to have even less time, that's only a good problem to have. And yeah, no, I felt good out there. I think it's, you know, adjusting your movement slightly and just really adapting to the kind of balls that come and the kind of points that I played here. But I'm really happy to be on the surface. Not every day is going to be amazing, no matter how long you're on the surface, but for sure, in terms of adapting to how the courts play and the surface plays, every day you get on the surface will definitely help that.
Finally, I pipe up and ask.
There's only one disappointment today. I was lucky enough to meet someone very special in Birmingham. Are you going to be bringing in Bono at some point?
Hopefully he'll actually visit tomorrow, hopefully, but we'll see. I need to check if he's allowed on the grounds here. I'm not sure if he's allowed, so hopefully he can come. Is he allowed?
I guess so.
I don't know.
Well, this is a great start to the week. I put in a request to speak to Elise Mertens, and she is happy to chat to me in a one-to-one. Excellent! I watched her last year play in the most incredible match against Aryna Sabalenka. It went the distance and she was on the losing side of the net, unfortunately for her. But both of them were impressive that day, and it was a game that really confirmed my love for the women's game. Since then, they have become doubles partners. So something happened that day.
So if I could ask you what you have for breakfast.
Well, normally I have oats for breakfast. Oats and maybe some Greek yogurt or milk, some fruit, and then some granola. So the healthy stuff, yeah.
So a healthy start to the day. Yeah, I've sort of got into porridge. I like porridge.
Yeah, I mean, it's very important to start the day healthy, to get your stomach filled with good things because, you know, you have to practice or have a match. So you need the energy.
How was that for you today? Have you been playing much on grass in the last few weeks?
Well, yeah, I've played two tournaments. I've been in Mallorca, actually. I lost on Friday. So it was a busy schedule. But, you know, once you enter a tournament, you know the consequences when you go far in the other one. But I'm really happy to be back. And, of course, the weather today was good. So it's always nice to play the match. I think, yeah, it was a close one at the end. 6-6 in the second set, so a tiebreaker. But I'm happy that I could pull it up one more level.
Do you like to get a good start in tournaments, or would you rather win love and one or something?
Well, of course you like some easy matches, but these days there are no easy matches, unfortunately. But I think it's also good to have, like, you know, close matches, tight matches to just keep you going and mentally be prepared for that too. I mean, it's a whole different level. I think every game we play today or next week's is very high. And I think if you have a tournament and you start well with, you know, some closer matches, that might help too.
What people don't seem to understand is that tournaments like this are harder to get into than, say, Wimbledon.
Yeah, I mean, the cutoff of this tournament is very high. It could be 50 or even less. And then you have the Grand Slam tournament. Of course, a bigger draw that makes like 1-5, 1-10. That's the last acceptance. So, yeah, it is really hard. I mean, I'm not seeded here, so I'll probably play a seeded one in the next round if she wins. But in Wimbledon, I am seeded. So it's kind of different, but, you know, the level of the girls, the level we play is roundly the same, of course, every week. But it is higher on paper.
So mentally, it must be strange because, in a way, you have to get yourself going earlier in these tournaments than, say, perhaps in a slam.
Well, you know, of course you have to be ready every day if you play a match. Of course, when you practice, you can, you know, relax a little bit more. But you have to prepare mentally. There are no easy matches anymore. So first round, second round, but quarter finals, it's actually all the same. I just look at more like match per match, not really the rounds that I'm into. Because, you know, if you lose first round, then, well, it's done for the week. You have to practice one more week. So it's always nice to get some matches in.
And I guess for you, it must be interesting because, I mean, you're only 22?
23.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. I looked that up wrong. Okay, you're 23, which is still pretty young. But in the women's game, there seem to be a lot of players coming through very young age at the moment. Do you think this is a potentially golden age for women's tennis?
Well, like certain years ago, it was maybe a little bit older, like 26. Now it's becoming, you know, you always have some young talents coming up, as always like this. But yeah, I think tennis has changed a lot. I think if you're mature in a young age, that maybe helps too. If you're mentally really, you know, you have nothing to lose at a young age. And the next year you have to adapt and be mentally ready for that.
And for you, what was it like coming through from juniors going pro? Was that a big step up?
Well, of course, for me, it was to start all over again because you don't have a ranking anymore. I finished as a top 10 player. So, yeah, it was kind of different. But luckily, I did well. I won some 10Ks and then 25. So I went up the rankings. I stayed a little bit at 100, 110, 120, you know, the big step into the WTA tournaments. But yeah, after my win in Hobart, it all went pretty good at the moment. And yeah, you know, it's just, yeah, dream come true.
And I've noticed talk to a lot of younger players who are in the sort of 200s, 180s, 150s. And there is a magical number to break into that top 100, isn't there?
Yeah, of course. I mean, it's pretty difficult if you're like 150 to go to 100. There's a big point gap. So you really have to win the tournament or qualify for a WTA plus winning one or two matches to step up your ranking. And that's a really, really difficult one to do. And I managed to do it, but it was, for me, it was also a big step, and you really have to believe in yourself, because you're playing against some top players for the very first time. And it's all different, but you know, you work for it and you earn it too.
Can you remember any particular match that you went, yes, I've arrived, I belong here?
Well, you know, I think when I qualified for Hobart, I mean, I was already really happy that I qualified, and I think winning the quarterfinals against Kiki Bertens and then the semifinals made me a top 100 player. But of course, I'm coming from a much longer way than just that tournament. Playing juniors, I played a little longer, 17 and a half, and then I started playing the ITF and, well, afterwards WTA tournaments. But you have to just, now I see it differently maybe. Before, I saw it like, oh, I have to win these matches. I have to just, you know, win this point, win this set. Now I'm just looking a little bit more like the future-wise and just looking at my game a little bit more and just match per match.
So when you look at the future, what do you see in the future?
Well, I'm just trying to, of course, enjoy it too, because, yeah, it's a stressful environment sometimes. You have some expectations, people have some expectations, but you know, you play tennis for yourself, so you try to focus on yourself a little bit more and just see the game you have to play in the future, or want to play in the future, and just mentally be prepared for that.
And you are successful in both singles and doubles. That's pretty unusual, isn't it? And how on earth do you cope with that?
Well, actually, last year I played with Demi Seuls, a Dutch girl, really best friend from a young age. I practiced with her when I was 10 years old, 11, so we grew up together. And I said, well, I'm not going to play a lot of doubles anymore this year. But, well, I kind of do still. I just love the game and playing with Aryna Sabalenka at the moment. You know, both singles players focusing on singles, so it's a little bit different too. But, yeah, I just love the game. I love to play singles and doubles from a young age. I did both. And I think it really helps to get the volleys, to the serve, the return. You know, it's something that I love.
So you think it gives you something for the singles game as well as it being an enjoyable experience?
Yes, definitely. Of course, we, with Aryna, have some fun on court. That is also very important. But yeah, I think for the return and the serve, it's very important. And of course, you have to also, you know, come to the net, get that volley. So I think it's useful, yes.
Are you playing with her here this week?
No, I'm not playing this week, because, you know, I've played last week doubles, and going into Wimbledon, I want to start afresh. So I'm passing for this week.
Fair enough. I'm sure that must be quite an interesting partnership, though. I'd like to see that. Didn't you play her last year?
Last year here, I lost against her third set 7-6, but it's all forgiven. No, I mean, it's just, you know, on court and off court, we're different girls. And you know, it's just a match. Of course, you want to win, but you're looking, well, I'm looking in the future.
So how do you relax off court? What do you like to do? Do you listen to music? Have you got any recommendations?
Well, actually, I'm just a quite normal girl. I'm sitting in my room, I guess, just, you know, calling home. I love animals. I got four dogs at home, so you know, just relaxing. My coach is also my boyfriend. We're traveling together, so just eat something together, to the restaurant, watch a little movie, just doing the simple stuff.
Well, that must be nice, though, isn't it? It must make a difference to be with your partner on tour.
Yeah, of course, it's easy and not easy sometimes, but you know, it's very nice that I can bring him, and that he actually wants to do this too, because it has to be from both sides. But you know, we're abroad very much, almost every week, so it's very nice to that I can take him with me, and my mom is also coming a lot of times, so it's, yeah, I like that.
And how easy is it for your partner to be your coach and for you to listen to him if perhaps you don't like something?
Well, actually, this is the second time we tried. The first time we tried to, and after 1.5 years, well, we didn't really end up that well. But, you know, we're grown-ups. We learn from our mistakes. And, of course, mentally, you know, you have to talk to each other and be open. And that's what works at the moment. And I think we're both really learning from each other.
And what are your goals and aims for the summer? I mean, okay, we're practically there at the Grand Slam. So what are your aims for the summer and for the year?
I mean, of course, I would like to end my year at top 20. That's always something nice to say if you can end top 20, but you never know. I'm just, you know, doing well in the Grand Slams like everybody wants to. Getting a couple matches in here in Eastbourne, would love to, you know, to get these matches on grass. But yeah, just looking at match as match, and I think I can improve myself. And if I can improve myself, it will, yeah, be better for me in the future.
Thank you very much. Have a good week.
Thank you.
Welcome to Eastbourne.
I know, it was meant to be sunny, wasn't it?
Now it's overcast and spitting, so we're sat on this picnic bench and I feel like we should go inside soon, because I reckon play's just started and it'll get stopped.
Yep, well, I think it's all my fault. I've put my shorts on for the first time this summer. And
well, I was just with someone, a former colleague, and he was here checking on the programme, and he's coming shorts and T-shirt. I was like, what are you doing? You're not, it was nice when I left the house. There goes Heather Watson. But, sorry I'm late. But, so last week I was at Queen's and you're in Birmingham, so, and then I was at a wedding at the weekend, so we haven't had a chance to catch up. So I think that now's a good time before all these round table interviews start. Obviously, you've seen the emails about the round tables that we've been invited to.
Yeah, it's great. I'm really looking forward to speaking to, well, Simona Halep and Ash Barty. Interestingly, Ash Barty last summer was really easy to chat to because she wasn't at the level she is now. And I've noticed that in my travels over the last few weeks, players that I could quite happily get a one-to-one with when I didn't really have anything that much to say when I was writing an article for you about the feel of the tournaments around the country, now it's really hard to, oh, I don't think you'll get her. And it's amazing how 1 year can make such a difference in players' lives and careers.
What I was going to say is, just looking ahead, did you find it okay by yourself in Birmingham? Did you get lonely?
What, did I miss you?
Yeah.
Yeah, I did. Of course,
well,
I missed you.
I've got some bad news for you, because you're going to miss me some more this week.
Well, you're just the bringer of bad news. That's what I think.
So I know. I was scheduled to be here in Eastbourne all week, but you'll be on your Todd from Thursday.
Fair enough. Well, there's nothing new. I'm kind of used to it now. It's been weird. I mean, I kind of enjoy it because actually I've made quite a lot of friends from last year, people that I met last year. I've consolidated friendships with them. So, you know, your absence is a terrible thing, but at the same time, there are other people who've filled a little hole in my life.
Such as Roz Satter, who you spoke to in Birmingham, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Roz was fantastic. You know, she's very switched on. She's got some great thoughts. I loved it when she was talking to... She described Yelena Ostapenko as a cat trying to catch butterflies. Which I think is a great analogy. If you see Ostapenko play,
she's all over the place.
Absolutely. So she said it in a press conference to Joe Konta, and Joe Konta went, "What?" really didn't get it.
So while she's running around catching butterflies at the back of the court, like you say, if you make one mistake, it seems amplified. Is that what you mean? That.
What do you mean, catching butterflies?
Oh, just because she just like you say, hits freely and just does.
Oh, okay.
How was it chatting to Roz?
Roz was great. As I said, she's insightful. She's very good at chatting about tennis. We had a lot of good chats and talked about all sorts of things.
So we just need to get off to these round tables now, because they're going to start happening soon. So hopefully they'll be really good.
Yeah, looking forward to it. Unsurprisingly, Gary gets sidetracked with phone calls, so not for the first time, I make my way to the Sharabang alone. The first person to take part in the roundtable events and sit down and chat with about a dozen journalists is former world number one Simona Halep. Half the battle for me in this environment is making sure I am close enough to the player to record the interview well enough. It's not a problem in the press conferences, as I've worked out how to plug my mic directly into the sound desk and consequently get great audio. This setup is more informal and involves a circle of chairs, and I ask where Halep will sit and I take the seat next to her proposed position. I'm ready to go.
Well, I feel different. I feel more relaxed. I feel without pressure, but I'm still motivated to get back to my highest level. I still have to work a little bit more to get there, but I feel good. And yesterday when I played doubles, I really enjoyed the time spent on court, and I felt that my game is there, so I need just to focus better during the matches.
Halep explains her decision to play singles and doubles at Eastbourne.
Well, normally I don't play before a Grand Slam, but this year I didn't have a match on grass court, and also the clay court was not that great last year. So I decided to come here to play a little bit on grass and also to have some matches. I think it's the best decision is that one that you take. So for me, it was the best decision for this moment. When I feel that I need some matches, I decide to play doubles. And here, actually, the morning before the sign-in, Raluca messaged me if I want to play because she didn't get in. So I said yes, and then we needed a wildcard. So thank you to the tournament that we got the wildcard. It was a good decision, and I'm really happy with the win. Yeah, emotionally, I was very flat last year when I came to Wimbledon. Now it's different, but now I don't have that, fighting spirit and maybe like winning spirit, because in French Open and all the clay court season, I won pretty many matches, and it was different. So I had everything. I had the rhythm in myself. Now I'm different. I am fresher, I can say. I see different the things, and I still believe that I have a chance to play well on grass. But we will see. I just have to believe that there is a chance.
She discusses her feelings for grass and how she's trying to adapt to its idiosyncrasies.
Yeah, you have to accept, and you don't have to get frustrated on court when you miss an easy ball or when the opponent makes a great shot. So you have to accept and to take it as it is. It's weird. Yeah, it's weird because you never know what to expect. And my style is a little bit like to know what I'm playing and what the opponent is playing, like on clay court. That's why I like so much. But here you never know how the ball bounces, how it's coming, because sometimes it doesn't bounce. The drop shots are really good here. Slice is good. So it's a little bit different. But I'm trying to improve these things. And hopefully until I finish my tennis career, I will get used to this surface.
Having been so successful, when you have disappointments, is it harder to deal with mentally? And how do you adjust?
So I had so many disappointments before this year. Three finals in Grand Slam. Four times the chance, I had four chances to get number one and I couldn't take them. So I'm stronger, and now if I lose a match, it's not a disaster. So I know how to handle the disappointment in these days. And also I see tennis different now. I did everything I wanted, Grand Slam and number one. So now everything it comes, it's like a bonus. So I'm trying to just enjoy the time on court and to feel happy because I'm able to still playing tennis, like I'm able to do it.
So does that mean your goals or aims or ambitions have changed now? Are you happier just playing?
No, I still have goals, and they are pretty big. Of course, I would like to win another Grand Slam. I would like to win a medal in Olympics. This is the main goal, actually, this year's. But I'm more relaxed. I enjoy more, and the pressure is not negative anymore. It's just positive. And when I feel positive pressure, I play well. So it's good to have it.
And does that mean you really do try and concentrate on living in the present? And
exactly. Yes, I'm not thinking about the result anymore. I'm thinking to get better on court and to play the best tennis that I have.
Do you think the women's game is in a really interesting stage at the moment? There's a lot of very young players coming through, and I'm wondering how you're viewing the women's game.
Yes, I think it's very excited. It's excitement for the crowd also, for the people that are watching tennis. I like more this situation because you never know what to expect at the tournament. So also the teenagers have power to believe that there is a chance for everybody. So I think it's a good thing for tennis, and now that physical part it's so important, that's why the tennis is changing.
How do you relax away from the tennis court?
Doing normal things as a normal person, nothing special, and I love to spend time with my family and friends. This is the only one thing.
I'm just sitting here waiting to go and join the round table with Ash Barty. I'm really excited about this because I spoke to her several times last year, and here she is now back at the top of the game as the world number one. The new world number one, that is.
Right, hello. Before we get started with our new number one, Ash actually is withdrawing from the tournament with a right arm injury. So feel free to obviously ask about that, but obviously still do round table, lots happening with her at the moment, so we'll get started.
When I have a spike in load, it comes up. It's just the bone stress injury, and I need to look after it, particularly these first few days, and we know how to manage it, but it's important to get on top of it straight away. Yeah, I mean, it's rest, it's time off court, and then it's also carefully monitoring how many balls I do hit when I get back on the court, particularly with serving. But it's the bone stress injury that I've had since I was 16 years old, so it's just certain times of the year I need to be more careful with it. I would have loved to have been fully healthy and be ready here to play. I love this tournament, and Eastbourne holds a very special place in my heart. It was my first singles tournament back 3 years ago, so it's an incredible place. I love playing here, and I would have loved to have played, but it's not to be this week, so now we just need to make sure that we're doing everything that we can to be right for Wimbledon.
The French was okay. Having the day on, day off helps as well, and not having too much of a spike in a row, but it's something that we've managed throughout my whole career. It really is. There are weeks where I've played with it through pain, and then there are weeks where we have to take a step back and make sure that we manage it properly.
Do you think we're in a really interesting phase for women's tennis at the moment, where there are so many players who can beat each other, it's so competitive, there are so many youngsters coming through? How do you view the women's game at the moment?
It's extremely strong. It's been a really exciting time. I mean, you only have to look at the first 18 events of the year to see different winners, and it's just showing the incredible depth that is in the WTA at the moment, and you have to be ready every single day because anyone can be beaten on the day, and you just have to. I think it's more now about who can execute a little bit better each match, and who can have that consistency.
And does that make you think more about when you get an injury that you really want to go out there right? You don't want to go out there feeling pain all the time, and you want to manage your injury?
Yeah, I mean, it's important. We would love to be healthy every single week of the year, and there are some times where you play with pain, and there are some times where you just can't. You have to listen to your body.
Since the WTA began computerised rankings in 1975, out of the thousands of players who have stepped onto a court since then, only 27 women have reached this pinnacle. This is the byproduct of winning tournaments and, more than anything, displaying consistency in your game. On Sunday, at Birmingham, where I've just been, Ash Barty became the new world number one after victory over her doubles partner, Julia Gorges, in the final of the Birmingham Classic. Naomi Osaka had been replaced at the top of the rankings, something she was aware could happen to her when we spoke on the first days of that tournament. That's the problem with being number one. You're always looking over your shoulder.
If I play well, then I'll be number one, but you kind of have to deserve the spot that you're in. And if I lose in the first round, then I don't deserve to be number one, and that's sort of what comes with the territory. So I'm kind of chilling right now. Like, I'm not trying to keep that in my mind.
But being number one creates its own pressure.
Yeah, I mean, for me, during the entire clay season, it kind of mattered. And I think it kind of showed because I was kind of stressed out the entire time, just trying to enjoy the ride and, like, take it one match at a time. Try not to think about the stats or anything like that because I'm not necessarily a stat person. So, yeah.
Former world number one, Caroline Wozniacki, gave some insight into her friendship with Barty and shared some of her thoughts on her becoming the new number one.
First of all, I think Ash is such a great person. We have a great relationship, and we watched the Liverpool game. I think it was the semifinals of Champions League together in a bar in Madrid. So that was awesome. And then I texted her as soon as she won the French Open, and I was like, that's awesome. I always knew that she had it in her. She's so much talent, and she's such a great player, and I really respect her both on and off the court. And I actually didn't know she got to number one until yesterday, and we were talking. My dad and I were talking about it, and he's like, yeah, Ash is number one in the world. I was like, oh, my gosh, that's awesome. Great for her. She's worked hard. She's been very consistent, and, she definitely has the game, so...
On her return in 2016, she was ranked 623 in the world. June the 23rd, 2019, was the conclusion of that journey as she became the new world number one.
I think it's just been a gradual progression, to be honest. So obviously we've tried to do all the small things right and, you know, and kind of learn good habits and do the best that we can every single time we step on the court, and that's all coming together now, and the stars have aligned for me over this last month in particular, and it's just been, you know, a really, really incredible ride.
Simona Halep, another former number one, told of her experiences as a number one and talked warmly about Barty and her rise to the top spot.
I think you feel fulfilled inside yourself and just like enjoy it. I enjoyed it a lot and didn't bring me down because I was there for a long time. So I don't see any negatives into being number one in the world. So I think she deserves so fast. She's great. And my only advice is just to enjoy it.
It's been a bit of a whirlwind over the last month, over the last 24 hours. It's been the most incredible time of my life. It really has, and it's come around so quickly, but we've done so much work with my team and I. I'm so proud of my team and all the work that they do and all of the time and the energy that they invest in my career. I really do have the best team in the world.
It's amazing. I just sent her a message saying that she has to enjoy it, as I said before. It's amazing that she could do it first time, like... fast winning Grand Slam and then becoming number one in next week on grass. So she's very talented, as I always said, and she deserves to be there because she always she's like 100% on court when she goes to play.
It's just been really nice to have a little bit of a quiet time with my team that's been here with me. My family was obviously in Birmingham, and you know, I had an amazing group of people around me that were able to celebrate that moment with us in Birmingham. It was just incredible. But I haven't played a tournament yet. I haven't played a match. It's a completely new situation. But there are so many extremely high quality players that they're all edging for that spot, and I'll continue to try and go about my work the same way, and we'll just see how it goes.
Wozniacki told how she coped with being number one and offered some advice for Barty.
I think you always have the confidence when you're in the top of the game. You have the confidence, so that's not the problem. I think just enjoying the moment and really appreciating it, I think, is the main thing. But to be honest with you, obviously I really enjoyed, and it took me a long time to win my first Grand Slam. So I think I really appreciated that together with the number one ranking. But to be honest with you, I think we're such competitors as well. And it's never enough. You know, once you've reached one goal, you want to do something else. And in tennis, you have competitions all the time. And I think when I'm done with my career, I can only talk for myself. I think when you're done, that's when you can really look back and then really appreciate and be proud of everything you've achieved. But until then, you strive for more, and you want to try and do more, and you want to try and get better, and there's always things that you can improve on. So I think that hunger needs to be there too, and I think that's a hunger that never goes away.
In 2014, at the age of 19... Ash Barty gave up playing tennis and she ended up playing Big Bash cricket in Australia. She cited that she needed to step away from the game and all its pressures and go and live a normal life.
We went through ebbs and flows in that year in 2014, and I'm not going to go into details of how I felt and what I had to go through, but there was a point when I think I knew that I needed to stop, and then when I made the decision, it was easy. I mean, I don't think that I'd be standing here still playing if I didn't take the break. And I needed time just to go back and refresh and just find myself a little bit as a person. And, you know, but then coming back to tennis was the best decision I ever made.
We talked about it in the locker room in French Open. I was very surprised because I saw her playing and she was very talented. And Darren told me that she is going to be a great player. And when I saw her stopping the tennis, I was shocked a little bit, but she knew what she did it, and she shows now that she needed that break.
Oh, I think everyone's different. Everyone's unique. I can't sit here and tell people how they should figure out their way through their life. It's their decision. And I think for me, it was just more being aware of my mental health and you know, having that discussion with people. That was kind of the best thing that came out of it, was that now there's more awareness about mental health. So, I mean, it's hard for me to sit here and say, I can't sit here and say that everyone needs to take a break or whatever it is. They need to work through what they need to work through and talk about it. But, it's hard for me to say.
She also believes that the team she has around her have been instrumental in her rise to the top.
The people that are with me day in, day out have been with me for the last 3 years and have been working together, and we're all on the same page of where we wanted to get to and how we wanted to get there. And it's been an incredible sacrifice from them for their time that they've invested into my life and into my career, and the passion that that they give me to be the best version of myself that I can be has been incredible.
I think the first time around was very different than the second time around. The first time around, it was 2020, and I think everything just came so quickly for me. And you know, I think you have all these dreams and thoughts when you grow up as a child, what it's going to be like to be number one in the world. And I think I just got a reality check. You know, it was like I was in Beijing and I became number one in the world, and I beat Petra Kvitova to become number one. And the next morning, I had a semifinals to play. And my dad was still like, move your feet, do this. And I'm like, well, I'm number one in the world. What do you mean? He's like, yeah, nothing changes. You need to keep going. You need to keep working hard. And I ended up winning that tournament. And then I think I was in the finals of the year in championships. But I was like, nothing really changed. You know, everything is the same. The people that followed me before follow me now. People that didn't know I existed probably don't know I exist now. So it's kind of like, you know, a reality check. But I think the second time around, once, you know, I dropped in the ranking, I got hurt and then came back and fought really hard to get back to that number one. And after winning Australia, I think you just appreciate it so much more. I was just like, this is a dream come true. I've worked extremely hard to get here, and to do that with a Grand Slam was pretty special too for me.
Oh, it's been an amazing reception from the whole world, and it's, you know, it's a little bit mind-boggling to me, and still in a little bit disbelief and speechless with just where we are, where we're sitting. But it's just been an incredible month.
So how will she cope with being number one?
I guess we'll wait and see. I haven't played a tournament yet. I haven't played a match. It's a completely new situation. But you know, there are so many extremely high quality players that they're all edging for that spot. And I'll continue to try and go about my work the same way. And we'll just see how it goes.
And now here we are with the former world number one, Caroline Wozniacki. There can't be more than six people in the room. Naturally, my friend Rod Sattar from Britwatch Sports is here, and there's a couple of broadcast people sitting at the back. I think they like to sit in so they can get a feel for the player before their interview with them. That's good practice. But I'm gobsmacked at how few people want to talk to Wozniacki. After all, she's a great talker.
Okay.
Yeah, thanks.
Okay.
Firstly, congratulations on the win and, of course, the wedding.
She recently got married and decided to do it between the French Open and the grass court season. But why do it in such a congested part of the year?
Well, the thinking was it was, you know, either going to be after the French, after Wimbledon, or after the season. And I kind of wanted a summer wedding. So then there was two options. And to be honest, I didn't want it to be right after Wimbledon because my birthday's right around there, and I would like an anniversary and my birthday for the rest of my life to be spread out. So then there was one option, and so that's kind of how we narrowed it down.
She's had an up and down year and been battling with injuries. So what's her focus now, and is she glad she's back on grass?
I just love grass. I think, you know, this season so far, I've been really unlucky with sickness and with injuries, and you know, there's nothing really I can do about it. You just kind of have to keep moving on, moving forward. And right now I'm feeling healthy, so knock on wood. So hopefully I can just keep being healthy. And, you know, when I feel good, then I know I can beat anyone and I can play on my highest level. So, you know, I'm just taking it one tournament at a time right now and one day at a time. And hopefully my body is going to hold up.
How players deal with injuries has fascinated me all summer. It must be so debilitating to spend time out of the game. After all, a sports career is a short profession in terms of the amount of years we actually live for. How do these players cope? What's the mentality needed to get through enforced time away from the game and getting back to full fitness? I guess acceptance is a necessary mindset.
So you say you've had illness and you've had injuries. Mentally, how does that affect you? Is it hard to deal with, or do you get into a mindset?
I think sometimes it's frustrating for sure, because when I've hit my injuries or been sick, I've actually practiced really well and felt like I was starting to hit my peak. So that's been frustrating. You know, it's another thing when you don't feel great on the court and then you get hurt or sick and you're like, oh, okay, it's fine. But it's especially frustrating when you're like, oh my God, I feel great and I feel like I'm hitting the ball well. So, you know, I think just being older a little bit and having played many years on tour, I think it's easier for me now just to reset and be like, okay, this is what it is. There's nothing you can do about it. So just move on and we take it from there and we keep just working. And I've learned a lot from the years that I have had on tour that, you know, with hard work and with consistency, eventually, you know, you're going to get back into it and the results will come. So I just try and be patient and, you know, I think with my body as well and with everything going on, I have to learn to be even more patient and then just accept and then, you know, work really hard and be very specific in the things I work on.
Does that philosophy help you within matches as well, the patience?
I think so. You know, you obviously do everything to win and my mindset is that every tournament I play, I want to win it. So, yeah, you just have to go with the flow and you know, I'm just happy that I got a win today and I get another match tomorrow and we go from there.
How do you think the women's game is at the moment? There's so many younger players coming through, people beating each other on their day. Do you think we're in a really interesting time for the women's game?
I think we're in a great time. I think it's fun. It's very competitive. I think it's tough. You know, I think it's great. And I think we have some young ones coming up that have very big potential, and I guess you just have to wait and see what they end up doing in their career. But I remember when we were young group coming up as well, and we were quite a big group that all of a sudden, you know, made the jump. And then I feel like there was a long period of time where there was not that many young ones coming through, and all of a sudden again you see a group. So it's definitely interesting, and hopefully they wait a few more years, you know, to really make the next break. You know, it's we like it up there. So
ever as fearless as they seem to be?
I think it's definitely different. I definitely think there was more respect back in the day, as in just in general. But then again, you know, it's not every player is different. So there are some that are fearless and just doing their own thing, and then there are some that are fearless but very respectful of the players that have been on tour for a long time. And then, you know, I think every personality is different. And I think there keeps being more money in tennis. And I think you'll see a big change coming in tennis as well with the prize money keep raising. So I think the competition is only going to get tougher and tougher.
Finally, she is asked about a young Danish player who is coming through, Clara Towson. She points out there are actually two young Danish players coming through right now, Towson and Holger Rune.
There's actually two players coming through. There's Clara, and then there's Rune, who won the French Open boys singles, and he's very young and doing extremely well too. So I think it's great to have two young players, and hopefully they'll do great. You know, there's a big jump from juniors to seniors, but I think, you know, it's obviously a great start when you do well in the juniors and you win a slam, and then hopefully they can bring that with them and the confidence that gives into the women's game. So I hope they do well, both of them.
Thank you.
That's about it for this episode, and my particular thanks go to Elise Mertens, who was great company. And I managed to see Gary Hayes for a brief moment in time before he disappeared to make his continual high-rolling phone calls. I need to get something to eat and then continue on my summer's journey. You've been listening to Dropshot, a narrative podcast series written and produced by me, Kerry Levy. Gary Hayes was my co-producer on the series, and when he could be bothered to turn up, also travelled across the UK to record it with me. Taylor Hayes is Dropshot's sound engineer, while Leon Rachinsky-Gorman ably assisted on several episodes. Our podcast artwork is by Matt Alabaster, and Jimmy Goodwin composed our music. If you would like to hear more about the series, follow us on Twitter and Instagram. We are at This Is Dropshot. This has been an original production from Highway 61 and Kerry Levy.
Night In just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18+. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.